Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. The Uns, by now you know, the unavoidable, the unconventional, the unbelievable, the underrated, the unsaid, the uninhibited, and more underdog stuff. As always, to take you on that journey for every episode, you have your host and the creator of the Gregory Neesmith Show, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, consultant and leadership coach, political commentator from time to time, activist, and just overall into spreading special stuff. And for those who love social media, I've been reminded that I should make sure I let folks know how to get in touch with me if they're not going to be able to tune into the show or to the podcast. If you want to catch me on social media, you can find me at Gregory Neesmith on Twitter. That's GREGORYNESMITH. But let's live in the moment. We have a live show happening right now. And for those who want to join the conversation today, you can do it at all, as always, on the phone lines of WHCR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem, at 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. And give a brother a call. I know we got a lot of technology these days. Some of y'all watching on Facebook Live. Some of y'all are listening to like the TuneIn app, live streaming on WHCR.org and all those good things. But every now and then it's good to go old school. Mr. Telephone Man. There's nothing wrong with this line. If you call me at 212-650-6903, I'll pick up every time. Also, for those who like to watch, you can do that at Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. Again, GREGORYNESMITH. And I will read your comments on the live show, and those will get featured on the podcast. Because it's a live radio show on Sundays, and it's a podcast on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. All right, shout out to all the underdogs and my people. Let's do what we do here. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Today's theme, the episode theme, I've had a lot of things on my mind as we start the new year. But New Year's resolutions will not be one of the topics on my mind or something that we will discuss today. But we will discuss things like weed, pizza, and Michael Phelps, and therapists. I know. It's a bit of an eclectic mix of topics. I get it. But somehow, some way, between now and the end of the show, I will attempt to, along with your help, tie it all together. And there's also something floating around in my head about staying in your lane. That might be a good resolution for all of us to think about in the new year. All right, so first, just some opening thoughts. A few days ago, I wrote my second ever article, and that article was entitled Tinder, Taxes, and No New Resolutions. And shout out to all the underdogs and my people who have checked out that article. If you go to my Twitter at Gregory Neesmith, it's a pinned tweet at the top of my timeline there, and you'll get a link to the article, which is on my LinkedIn page. And basically, the theme was, let's not talk about new resolutions at this point in the new year. Because according to U.S. News and World Reports, about 80% of resolutions will be failed, finito, done, out the window, gone with the wind by mid-February. And then another 10 to 11% of resolutions won't make it to the end of the year. But shout out to the 8 or 9% of them that do. But the majority of us, me, you, us, resolution's going to be done, failed, in about 4 to 6 weeks. So being mindful of the best use of our times as underdogs together every week on the live show and on the podcast, I thought it didn't make sense to talk about new resolutions because clearly there's something off, that we can't seem to have them last more than 4 to 6 weeks. And what we do here is work together to rediscover how special we are in the world. And failed resolutions isn't going to get us back to rediscovering our specialness. And so instead of talking about new resolutions, in the article I talk about things we get to keep doing, because I'm sure there's things from your past, let's call it 2017. I know in my case, there's things from 2006, from 1997, from 1985. I got a lot of things from the past that I still haven't finished. I got a lot of things from the past that I started that I want to keep doing. And I got a lot of things from the past that are getting in my way that I should just literally just stop doing altogether. And so, no, on this official first live show of 2018, I'm not going to talk about New Year's resolutions. But I will talk about the comments that a few of you left related to the article. And I will not leave you hanging, because to just say don't do something, don't do resolutions yet, that's cool, but that's incomplete, because you might be wondering, well, what should we do between now and mid-February, when I think I will actually talk about resolutions, because at that point we can do some stuff between now and then that'll get us ready for it. But first, shout out to Jim, who wrote he loved the article, and he actually quotes 1997 resolution. It would be terrifying to check and see how I did. And he was referring to the fact that I said I had a resolution from 1997 that I haven't completed yet. And he was saying he'd be terrified to look back and see what he would have done or not done since 1997. Hey, underdogs, if you're listening, 212-650-6903, call and let a brother know. Or if you're watching on Facebook Live, what resolution do you have from your past? It could be from last year. It could be from decades ago that you're going to actually pick back up with in the new year. So it's not a new resolution. It's actually a keep going of something you've been interested in for a long time. Shout out to Lubna, who put, I want to continue my commitment of consuming less and creating more. That was one of my intentions from last year that I'm carrying over into the new year. Because I'm like a big couch potato sometimes. I just sit in front of the TV just watching TV instead of writing or prepping for my show or networking. There's a whole bunch of things I could be doing so that I can create more instead of consuming less. So shout out to Lubna. She said she's feeling that. And she wrote one of her intentions for this year is don't look back, because that's not the way she's going. That's a good one. Appreciate all the comments. Also, shout out to Kirsten Magwood, who was part of the original launch team of the Gregory Neesmith Show. She wrote as a response to the article that I wrote recently called Tender, Taxes, and No Resolutions. She goes, I'm wishfully thinking you are saving. Oh, she says, I'm wishfully thinking you are saying no tender, no taxes, no resolutions, because I'm voting for a break on all of that. Well, I'm definitely no tender anymore and definitely no new resolutions, but I do plan to pay my taxes just in case. Trump or Jeff Beauregard Sessions or any of those folks are listening. I do plan to pay my taxes, but I do plan to put as many things as possible through my LLC, because this new tax law y'all pass seems to favor people who are rich and favor people who have businesses. So as I said before a few weeks ago, if I can't beat them, I'm going to join them. And so I'm going to figure out how to run as much of my stuff I do through my LLC called Underdog Stuff. So I will be reaching out to some attorneys and some tax folks, hopefully some folks that are at a low cost, because a brother doesn't have a budget to be spending a lot of money on this. But I do want to reach out to some professionals and get a sense of how I can make this tax thing work for me until there's an opportunity for us to have some new folks in Congress who can turn things around. All right. So like I said, shout out to everybody who checked out the article, and you can go to my Twitter and at Gregory Neesmith, and it's a pinned tweet, and you can check it out. Let me know what you think. Comments, good, bad, everything in between. Always appreciate it. With that, though, I got some feedback of people saying, well, what should we do? What should Underdogs be doing? What am I going to be doing between now and mid-February since I'm not coming up with new resolutions? Because if I did, they would likely fail because 80% of them fail. So what can we do to really get right? Get the foundation set. And I have five things that I have done in the past that have helped me get my mind right, get my foundation right before I start adding new resolutions in the new year. Because, you know, you don't let the calendar mess you up. You still got things from last year you want to keep doing. Keep doing them. So five things to do between now and February when I will then do an episode on new resolutions. First, go see a doctor. Yes, I said go see a doctor, your doctor. Hopefully you signed up for the Affordable Care Act, a policy either through the individual exchange or through your state's Medicaid. Or if your employer takes care of it, hopefully you renewed your plan. Even if you didn't, there's oftentimes clinics in your area that will take you in at low to no cost. But before folks start writing new resolutions, how about make sure that you're healthy? What's that saying, health as well? People want to start new resolutions. It's like if you were a car and you told me you're going to get some new tires. But I know that your transmission's not working. You want to get a new paint job on your car. But you need a new engine. I've been there. I've piled on new resolutions year after year after year. All things that make the outside of the car look pretty. But on the inside, my engine needed a tune up. My stick shift needed repair. My power steering wasn't working. So the first of five things to do, instead of a new resolution right now, first is go see your doctor. And I'll tell him myself, I do go see my doctor regularly, but I can be a little lax when it comes to seeing the eye doctor and my dentist. And so my commitment is that I will make an appointment to see my dentist and to go to the eye doctor to make sure everything on the insides are working properly, not just my overall physical health, like your physicals, your STI tests, and all the other stuff, which I do regularly. Number two, something to do before you do a new resolution. Number two, write down all the things you want. And I don't mean write them down once. I mean write them down for the next couple days, next couple weeks. Keep writing them. Keep editing them. Keep going back to them. Because I've found oftentimes when I ask myself what I want, I don't really get to the real answer until I've answered that question about 4, 5, 6, 7, 50, 11 times. And then I really start to get honest with myself about what I really, really want. Regardless of whether I think it's possible or not, just starting to get in the habit of just writing, what do I want? Third thing that I'm going to do, and that you can do too before you do new resolutions, is kick your inner hater out of the arena. You ever been to a sporting event and there's like a heckler who's talking trash, calling the players on the court bad names, telling them they can't do anything, they're not good. They're not good enough. They're not fast enough. They're not smart enough. They're not going to win. Well, the truth is, we all have a bit of a heckler or hater voice on the inside. I know I got one. And every now and then, that heckler or hater voice is telling me all the things that I can't do or that I'm not going to be good enough to do. Nobody's going to listen to you. You're not smart enough to launch that business. You can't trust people to work with them. You can't do business with family and friends. If people knew you, they wouldn't like you. They really knew you. All my hater voice on the inside just yelling and heckling away at me. Forget about what you may say about me. That's me talking to me. And the truth is, I know you got one of those heckler voices in there. Now, I don't know what he's saying or she's saying to you, but it's probably something that's not nice. So number three, before you do a new resolution, kick your hater, heckler voice out of the arena. Tell them to sit down and be quiet. Or if they won't listen, kick them out. Stop listening to them. Number four, get yourself some new friends. Now, I didn't say you have to get rid of your current friends, but you do need to get some new friends. My life has dramatically changed over the past few years by starting to surround myself with people who are interested in some of the things that I'm interested in. Folks who've accomplished things that I'm interested in accomplishing. You know, I remember my parents used to always tell me, you are the company you keep. And so if you want to create new things, it makes sense that you would also have new company that you keep in. And lastly, the five things that I'm going to do or have done before I do any type of new resolution. One was go see my doctor. Two was write down what I want. Write down what I really, really want. Number three was kick my inner hater voice out of the arena. Four was get some new friends. And number five, get a therapist or a coach. Let me say that one again. Get a therapist or a coach. Get a therapist or a coach. You know, I used to think growing up that, and I'm in my 40s now, early 40s. So, you know, born in the 70s, came of age in the late 80s, throughout the entire 90s. And I remember growing up thinking therapists were for crazy people. Like, crazy. Only crazy people go see therapists. Actually, I take that back. I used to really think that only crazy people who are rich go see therapists. Because I was like, not only do you have to be crazy, but you probably need to have some money to go see a therapist. And in my community, in my family, in my culture, we were supposed to lean on family and friends. Supposed to go to church, pray, lean on the deacons and the pastor. Lean on the good book. Lean on the word of God. And, you know, that got me to a point where just doing those things only wasn't working. Because think about it. For almost anything else in our lives, we seek out professional help. Except, it seems, when it comes to our mental health or emotional health. If I told you I wanted help with my taxes this year, given the new tax bill, and if I told you, you know what, I'm trying to figure out how to make this tax bill work for me, I'm just going to pray on it, you would look at me like I'm crazy. If I told you in the new year, I want to get a better diet, put together a diet plan, workout plan. And if I told you I was going to ask my mom, you would look at me crazy. Because for most things in life, when we want to get right, we of course lean on our family and friends for support, but we go see professionals. If I told you my car wasn't working and I was going to call up my uncle to fix it, and he's not a mechanic, you would look at me crazy. So what makes you think that you can write new resolutions or do whatever it is you want to do in life and rediscover how special you are? And what makes you think that you can do that only by leaning on your family and friends, especially if those family and friends aren't professionals in mental or emotional health? I'm not saying that to pass judgment on you, to point a finger, because guess what? When you point a finger, they say there's three pointing right back at you. Well, guess what? There's three fingers pointing right back at me. That was me up until about 4 years ago. When I finally took a couple personal development courses, which led to me getting some coaching, some life coaching, leadership coaching. And then that opened me up to going to see a therapist. At one point, I've seen a sex therapist. That's another show, another topic. We will talk about it. I'm thinking maybe next week or the week after. I saw a therapist related to the big event in my life a few years ago where I was about to go meet my biological parents for the first time. As a lot of you know, I was in foster care briefly, then adopted. Shout out to Henry and Hallie Neesmith, my parents who raised me. My angels. Team Neesmith. But shout out to the parents who gave birth to me. Because 3 years ago, I was able to find them and the rest of my extended biological family. But let's be very clear. I was all types of messed up about it leading up to it. And I'm so glad that I finally let go of this idea that therapists were only for crazy people, or at least for crazy rich people, because turns out I wasn't crazy and I wasn't rich. But turned out that it's no different than going to see an accountant when you have financial or tax questions. Going to see a therapist or a coach is no different than when you go to the gym to take a class with a professional instructor to help you with your workout plan. It's no different than when your car breaks down, you go see a plumber. That's if your water stuff, bathroom stuff is acting up at home. But if your car is acting up, no different than you go see a mechanic. Because professionals help us. And our mental and emotional states get to be helped too. I know it helped me. But it seems that, unfortunately, I'm still alone, because according to the National Institute for Mental Health, 70% of youth do not get mental health treatment and 56% of adults don't. So shame on the 56% of adults, which included me up until literally 3 or 4 years ago, who weren't getting help. But then shame on all of us as adults who actually contribute to the fact that a majority of kids don't get access to mental and emotional help. It's also why I think kids are one of the largest underdog groups in the world, because they're in a way at the effect or the mercy of us adults who clearly at times aren't getting a lot of things right. And then they have to figure life out. And then once they're adults, then unlearn a lot of stuff that just doesn't work. So please, before you do new resolutions this year, do these five things. Go see your doctor to check up on your physical health. Number two, write down all the things you want. Number three, tell your inner hater to shut up. Kick them out the arena. Number four, get some new friends. We are the company we keep. And number five, go see a therapist. They're not just for rich, crazy people. Because we all can benefit from professional support when it comes to our mental and emotional health. One last thing, though, before I move off this topic and we'll get into the rest of the conversation today, which has to do with staying in our lanes. We Democrats swimming. Like I said, I'll make it all. We'll tie it all together somehow. As always, we'll take your phone calls at 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Or we'll take your comments on Facebook Live. I'm going to go look at those in a second and read your comments. I think I see one from Daryl, so I definitely want to get him in the mix. But to the point about therapy sometimes being for the rich, that was my limiting belief. You know, it's not true. There are ways to get support for our mental health that may not cost that much money or no money at all. And some of those are go to a training clinic where there's literally folks who are in the process of becoming certified or getting their degrees, and they have to do field hours. They have to do test cases. And you can go to some of those training clinics and get very good professional help from students who are in the journey of becoming actual therapists that can help you. Visit a community mental health center. Sometimes if you can't afford one-on-one therapy, there's opportunities for group therapy. And if you're of student age or younger, you can also normally find services at your school or college. And then for those of us who are adults and working, check and see what your job may offer. With that, going to the Facebook Live, I see Daryl Tillman saying, I've seen all the healthcare professionals last month. I'm good. Shout out to Daryl Tillman and the 215 in the building. Daryl is also overall in the medical profession as one of our pharmacists, and he's in Pennsylvania. And shout out to pharmacists and all the folks in the medical community who, especially as I think about the wintertime when you got bad weather and storms and stuff like that, they are working. They make it to the hospitals or to their clinics, to their locations, and they are always working because, unfortunately, our health and our concerns don't stop just because the weather gets bad. And so shout out to Daryl and all the health professionals who keep going throughout the winter months in bad weather. And shout out to Daryl for being all checked up. What's that saying? Help is wealth. So regardless of how much money Daryl has in his bank account, he's already wealthy because he's good and he's seen all his health professionals. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more underdog stuff, a special delivery of it, and we'll continue to get personal about the news and the culture. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. You know, we covered the uns here, the unavoidable, the underreported, underrated, the unbelievable, the unconventional, a bunch of underdog stuff. And as always, shout out to the underdogs and my people who come along for the journey every week. We get personal about the news and the culture. And in the culture right now is this whole idea of new year, new you, new year, new me, new year, new us. And nothing wrong with that. Oftentimes, there's events like calendar events that can trigger us, inspire us, jog our memories, get us into action. But I'm saying I'm not, and the truth is a lot of you out there aren't ready to fall into the new year, new me, new year, new resolutions trap just yet. And so I wanted to share about some things we could do before we even get into letting the calendar mess us up. And so I'm offering that there's five things we can do as we start this new year before we even mess around with new resolutions. And we had someone who called in during the break and they wanted to hear what the five things are that we can do between now and whenever that moment hits that we want to add some new resolutions. And so I'll repeat those five for him and anyone else who may have missed them. The five are: go see your doctor for your physical health. Number two, write down all the things you want I mean, what you really, 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 really want. Number three, tell your inner hater voice, that heckler inside, telling it you aren't enough of something, to go take a seat. And in some cases, you might need to kick them out of the arena. Metaphorically speaking, your arena of your life. Number four, get some new friends. Not trying to be mean. I'm just, you know, we are the company we keep. And so as you do new things in your life, as you see the world differently, you'll probably add some new people in your life. And number five, and probably my most important one, is get a therapist or a coach. No person is an island. We can't do this by ourselves. I can't do this by myself. You can't do this by yourself. Get some professional help. We get professional help for everything else in our lives except for our mental and emotional health. Go see a therapist. And I'm saying it because I know a lot of you don't. Because the National Institute for Mental Health said that most people don't. And what's even worse, the Anxiety and Depression Association of America said that most of us know that something's not quite right with our emotional or mental stability, yet most of us don't go get help. But y'all want to start writing new resolutions. You know what they say? Because I've done this. I've built many a house on faulty foundations. And they all still come crumbling down until I actually start from within or start with the foundation. So do those five things before you get your new year popping and your new resolutions. And shout out to Daryl who commented on the Facebook Live. For those who like to watch, you can go to Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. That's GregoryNeesmith. We do this every Sunday live going forward now from noon to 2 p.m. Your comments get featured on the podcast, and I think it's just good when we interact with each other. Daryl says most employee assistant programs pay for the first 3 to 5 visits for therapy. No questions asked. Thank you for sharing that information, Daryl, because for some of us, I get it. You have whatever beliefs you have about therapy that is worth it, is not worth it. What I love about what Daryl just wrote is I call that in the spirit of like a test and learn, especially when it's at no cost. Test it out. Maybe you like therapy, maybe you don't, but at least get exposed to it. See what could work about it, what couldn't work about it. A lot of employee assistant programs will let you at least dip your toe in the water of this thing called therapy, because it's not just for crazy rich people. That's what I thought when I was a kid. It's not. All right, moving on for now. Where do I want to go? I haven't talked politics in a while. So I'm going to talk politics, I think, in the second hour. So we're going to talk politics because I want to talk a little bit about our stable genius in the White House. I'm hearing that's what Donald Trump is now referring to himself as a stable genius. Now, I may not believe that statement to be true, but I do kind of like the phrase stable genius. I mean, I'd love to be a stable genius. Who wouldn't? I mean, we talked about therapy and like getting our mental and emotional health, right? Who wouldn't want to be stable and a genius? But sometimes the things we say and wish for aren't always reality. But we'll talk a little bit about Trump and the Democrats in a few minutes because the second hour is going to start. But I do want to talk one thing about staying in your lane. It's another theme I have for the new year. As you'll notice, I haven't written down specific declarations or goals yet related to new resolutions. I'm still trying to figure out which ones are going to make it from last year and from my past into this year. I'm still trying to figure out what stuff I'm going to complete, what stuff I'm going to stop doing. But I'm also starting to get my mindset right. I'm starting to get support. Staying in my lane. So I didn't learn how to swim until I was about 14 or 15 years old. And for those who are swimmers out there or know how to swim, you're probably going, wow, that was pretty late in life to learn how to swim. A lot of people learn when they're babies or, you know, in their single digits, 5, 6, 7 years old, or sometimes even younger than that. But I didn't learn how to swim till I was a teenager. Up until that point, I had been terrified of water. I didn't even like when I would be in a car and be riding over a bridge. I used to think, what if the bridge broke? And then we fell into the water. I can't swim. This is bad news. So a fear of water, a lot of anxiety about it. Swimming just seemed like a foreign thing to me. But I finally learned how to swim. And then I would eventually take swimming classes. And now I like to say that I am a credible swimmer. Credible meaning I can do it. I don't do it that often, but I'm okay at it. And I no longer have the same fears I used to have when I'm going over a bridge. And one of the things that I learned from swimming, well, a couple things I learned from swimming. One, everybody does things at their own pace. So instead of thinking I'm a teenager, it's too late to learn how to swim, I should just suck it up and just say I'm never going to swim, I still chose to take the classes. Now, I will say I felt a little embarrassed because some of the people in the classes were a lot smaller and younger than me. But somehow I managed to tell my ego to calm down, stay quiet. Let's just learn as quick as we can so that we can take some classes going forward with some people more my age. But yeah, I did feel a little embarrassed to learn so late. But I still learned. And it got me to thinking, as I started taking those classes, as I started to try to do things like we do the swimming in the lanes, and then there's like competitive swimming, I started to realize I learned another lesson from swimming. That it only recently like got triggered in my head. I'm like, oh man, not only did I learn from swimming that it's okay to do things at my own pace, and even if I'm late to the party and it feels embarrassing, it doesn't matter, just to go do it, because I felt embarrassed being with little kids and I'm a teenager learning how to swim, but I'm glad I did it. But I also learned something else important from swimming. And I learned it from when you competitively swim against somebody. And everybody's in their own lane. And it made me think of the slang term, stay in your lane. Which sometimes can be derogatory. Sometimes we tell people, like, stay in your lane, mind your business. Or stay in your lane, don't tell me I need to go see a therapist or go see my doctor, right? So sometimes we can use stay in our lane in a defensive way or in a way to push people away. But I started to realize that stay in your lane can also be a positive thing. Because what everybody else may be doing, how they're swimming, how they're running their race, may not be how I'm running mine. And there's cultural examples, right? In America, we work all the time. People don't take vacations. Work, 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 work. Everybody's on their phone all the time. I need to be on my phone all the time. Everybody, well, not, I don't know if everybody, but I'm a guy. Guys watch porn. I should watch porn. I know the porn reference seems a bit random, doesn't it? But there's a reason, because in a few weeks, I'm going to talk about my relationship to porn, things I've learned about the effects it can have on me and on men in general. And I want to get into it, but it'll be in a few weeks from now. But stay with me. Or I need to do this or that to get likes on social media. I need to do what everybody else is doing. I guess if I'm a guy, I should take my shirt off and take bathroom selfies or something like that. Or take pictures leaning on an expensive car. I guess that's what guys do to get attention. But I could do what everybody else is doing, or I could stay in my lane. Swim my swim. Run my race. Because it said in competitive swimming, if you keep looking over at the other lanes, that you don't run as good of a race for yourself. So I'm going to switch gears because we're at the top of the hour. I'm going to take a quick break, run the station ID, and then we're going to talk about how I think there's an opportunity for in our politics. And I'm going to call out the Democrats in this case, how maybe they should stop worrying so much about what Donald Trump and the Republicans are doing. And it might actually serve the Democrats to stay in their lane. And we still got weed to talk about. And we still have your comments on Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith or your phone calls on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem at 212-650-6903. More of The Gregory Neesmith Show. A special delivery of Underdog stuff. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to my people and Underdogs after this break.
I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to fall over, make a mistake. That oftentimes cripples people on the onset of getting into anything. The first time I ever picked up the DJ decks was horrible. Horrible now. But I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that feeling. It actually propels me. It works quite the opposite. The other thing that's important, I think, is to keep your head down. You know, keep your head down. Like when I swim 25 laps, guaranteed if I look up and start counting those laps, I'm petered out by 15. If I put my head down and keep working away and work at technique, work at internal rhythm, work at I hit that length, I don't even know what length I'm on, guarantee you I'll look up and it'll be 20 and three more to go. And that's a very simple device, but I think people find themselves incrementally checking how far they've got, and that, you know, when you compare it to anybody else or whatever, it's just it's a recipe for disaster. Just keep banging on, you know, that's the most important. I think mountain climbers will probably tell you the same thing. You know, there's no point in looking. The difference between climbing 100 feet and climbing 500 feet is a point of view. You won't know you're at the top until you get there, pal. And that's what you need to remember. So that's, you know, part of my mechanism of dealing with sort of, you know, just getting there. Just don't look down.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Special delivery of Underdog stuff. Today's theme is Underdog stuff. There's a lot of things on my mind, but new resolutions isn't one of them. We've been talking about that in the first hour. Shout out to all the underdogs and my people who've come along on the journey on Facebook Live and listening on the radio at 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. Can anyone guess who that was speaking? That audio clip I just played, reminding us to stay in our lane, to focus on doing what we're doing. Don't look down. Keep looking up. Let me know if you knew who that was. I know who it is. Maybe some of you recognize that British voice with such a very, very good message. Also, shout out to Asha Davis. I just saw her comment on the Facebook Live. She said, what up? And also, reminds me of some of the reasons why the country to the north sometimes does it better than the U.S. She mentioned that in Canada, swimming is part of the curriculum. Just rubbing it in, Asha Davis, award-winning advertising executive, writer, and stand-up comic, and part of the team that launched this thing we do here called the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to Asha, who is clearly a proud Torontonian and from Canada, and again telling us why Canada does it better. Along with the fact that they have universal health care, maybe one day we will put swimming as part of the curriculum in the United States and hopefully make universal health care part of just what it means to be an American. We shall see. Shout out to Asha Davis for checking in. Always appreciate her. All right. It's talking about staying in the lane, staying in your lane. Let's talk about it. Somehow, we'll talk about lanes and politics right now. I love a good action thriller movie. Love it. Because to me, a good action thriller has good versus evil. Evil versus good. One of my favorite action thrillers, action heroes, movies is Dark Knight. Obviously, aka Batman. And in my business days, and as most of you know, spent about 16 years in corporate America doing marketing, general management, leading teams, leading businesses both here in the U.S. and around the world. And we had a similar construct oftentimes in running our businesses. Movies, entertainment have good versus evil. In biz, we used to call it having a foil. Apple, when it was coming up, it would position itself as going up against Microsoft. Microsoft was their foil. How many people have ever gone to McDonald's? I don't go to McDonald's as much anymore, but I used to love me some chicken nuggets growing up. I used to think they had the best fries growing up. But Burger King, King, would always try to knock off McDonald's. And for Burger King, McDonald's was their foil. Kind of like a good versus evil, or more like a David versus Goliath. But you get the point. And even me personally, when I was doing the whole biz thing, I was leading a juice brand. And I won't say the name because I'm not trying to do an ad for them right now. Those were my old days. But if you Google Adweek and Gregory Neesmith, Google my name and Adweek, it'll pop up. Should come to the top of the list. You'll see an article in Adweek about a brand that I used to lead and how that juice brand took on the foil being soda. Juice brand said, we're going to be a better choice than all the people who love to drink soda, because soda was one of the big beverages out there. And so I remember when I was on that marketing campaign and we were thinking, how do we convince people who wanted some juice? And I was working for this juice brand to pick our juice over other juices. So we created this foil called soda because we knew soda was the most popular household drink. And if we can get people who normally like soda to try our juice, we knew that we could have a very successful year. And so one of the things we knew early on is that we couldn't just tell people, don't drink soda, don't drink soda. Soda's bad for you. Carbonation, it's got a lot of sugar. It rot things, like it's bad for you. Soda's bad, soda's bad, soda's bad, soda's bad, soda's bad. Okay, cool. But if we only told people soda was bad, when I was leading this juice brand, or Burger King said only in its advertising that McDonald's was bad, or if Apple over and over again just kept telling you that Microsoft is bad, the only thing you would be left with is that soda, McDonald's, and Microsoft are bad. What you wouldn't be left with are the reasons to buy the juice brand that I'm working on or was working on, or reasons why you should go to Burger King, or reasons why you should buy an Apple product. And if we want to bring it even closer to home, let's talk about relationships. Underdogs out there, especially the female underdogs out there. If I was trying to date you, and all I told you were that all men suck, all the other men in the world are terrible, all the other men in the world won't treat you nice, all the other men in the world aren't whatever. The only thing that might do is convince you that there's no men in the world for you to date. But that wouldn't tell you why you should date me. And you can do it vice versa. If you're a female, male, you're whatever, right? Telling prospective people you're interested in all the reasons why there's no one good out there for them doesn't explain to them why you are the best fit for them. So I say all that to say, and it's been a little while since I talked some politics, but you know, we get personal about the news and the culture. And so let's talk about our stable genius, or self-proclaimed stable genius, number 45 in the White House. It's a big year, right? Midterm elections gonna happen. Are the Republicans gonna keep control of the House of Representatives and keep control of the Senate and hold it down for two more years after that? And then Donald Trump can hold it down in the White House and win a second term. Regardless, underdogs, whether you're listening to me as an independent right now, as a Republican right now, or as a Democrat right now, or as something else right now, go along on the journey in the spirit of why staying in your lane as an idea, as a concept, as a mindset, told through the lens of politics for the next few minutes, how that can apply to your life. So some would argue that Donald Trump has done a lot in the past year, basically begging for independents and Democrats to vote for him. Or sorry, vote against him in 2020. He's been Mr. Twitter fingers. He has not been very, as some would call, presidential. His approval rating is historically low after 1 year in office. So it seems like there's momentum. There's a possibility that Democrats could win a lot of elections during the midterms this year and could likely win the White House in 2020. But as we all know, Democrats are notorious for snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. For example, Hillary Clinton. She was supposed to win too. And she did. And oh, by the way, Democrats have been losing a lot over the Obama years. Obama kept winning two terms, Mr. Two Terms. But everywhere else, House of Representatives, 60, 70, 80 seats lost over the past 8 or 9 years. Senate, about 10 or so seats lost over the past few years. Shout out to Doug Jones from Alabama. Bucking that trend. Governor races. I know Virginia and New Jersey recently turned in the favor of Democrats, but up until then, I think about 10 governorships lost over the past 8 or 9 years, going from Democrat to Republican. So I have a cautionary tale for underdogs listening who are Democrats. This Never Trump movement, or he's such a bad guy, he's so unpresidential, Democrats are good, Donald Trump's evil, Microsoft is bad, Apple is there, McDonald's is bad, but Burger King is there, soda's bad, but my juice brand I used to work on is there. You can't just go around telling people how bad something is. You got to give them a reason to also come your way. So I started to check around and see, what are the Democrats doing besides just telling me and you that Donald Trump is bad? Because I know from my years of consumer behavior and business that just telling someone something's bad isn't going to get them to then choose you. So I went with the help of my producer, Megan. Shout out to Megan. Appreciate you. She helps me get ready for these shows, do some fact finding, help get the story straight. Because I want to make sure if I'm sharing stuff with you, not only are we entertaining each other, not only we inspire each other, but we got to make sure the information's right. Shout out to Megan. And we searched and searched, and I tried to find out where the Democrats stand in their lane. And instead of only focusing on Trump, who's swimming next to them, how about they focus on their message? How about they focus on all the potential independents and Democrats and some Republicans who could be swayed by what they can offer? And so this is what we found.
The Democrats are offering a better deal, a phrase that intentionally evokes the New Deal. We cannot afford to go back to those times. We stand for three simple things. First, we're going to increase people's pay. Second, we're going to reduce their everyday expenses. And third, we're going to provide workers the tools they need for the 21st century economy.
Are you feeling excited? Are you feeling inspired? You ready to go out and vote Democrat? I don't know about you, but Chuckie Schumer felt a little flat there. And of all the things we could talk about, the first pillar, Americans care about their national security. They also care about, do they have money in their pockets, a roof over their head, care about their schools, care about the roads that they drive on and commute on. And not that this isn't a good thing, but the first thing out of the Democrats and Chuck Schumer's mouth, while they're standing in their lane and trying to give folks a reason to vote for Democrats and not vote for Republicans, is raising the minimum wage. Underdogs, my people, are you buying the better deal? You know, better ingredients, better cheese, better pizza. That's Papa John's. I hope they didn't get this idea from them. Who, by the way, I think their CEO stepped down, but he didn't really step down. He's now really still on the board of directors. Like, it's all smoke and mirrors. He's still profiting, steering, running the business, but I digress. A better deal. I will say, hats off to the Democrats for not falling into the trap of only talking about how bad Trump is, that they've started to realize they need to stay in their lane, focus on themselves, focus on their message, focus on potential voters who might want to come their way. But I don't know. Increase minimum wage, reduce everyday expenses, and use tax credits and other incentives to encourage job training and hiring. Good stuff. I don't know if they're big enough themes or enough to get folks excited. race has been a big issue, along with gender, this past year. That didn't make one of their overarching big themes. Immigration, national security. Big, big issues that impact us as Americans, as voters. That didn't make one of their big themes. At quick glance, I'm going to say a B grade for effort, but a D minus for execution at this point. So yeah, Donald Trump may be an awesome asset to the Democrats because he gets Democrats riled up, gets them angry, gets them potentially wanting to see things be different. But just picking a foil, just picking a bad guy or bad woman isn't enough. You got to give people a reason why they should come your way. So for you underdogs out there, if you're running a business, you can't just talk bad about the other businesses. You got to give people a reason why they should come to your business. If you're out there dating, you can't talk about how bad all the other options are. You got to talk about why you're a good option. And if you're the Democrats, you can't just talk about how the self-proclaimed stable genius isn't good enough to be in office. You got to talk about why you're good enough to be voted in instead. And for those who think this is a layup, a lock, Gregory, why are you even talking about this? Staying in our lane, telling the Democrats they need to focus on themselves and the voters. Donald Trump's approval rating is so low. He's going to go. No way he'll get back in 2020. There's a wave election coming at the midterms. All the Democrats are going to win. There's no way. Gregory, you just wasted 15, 20, 30 minutes of my life talking about staying in my lane and telling me the Democrats need to do better. First of all, how likely do you think it is that Donald Trump even wins a second term? I'd say at this point it's still 50-50. And for those who don't believe in the stay in your lane philosophy, or don't believe Democrats should do more than just talking about why Trump is bad and be talking about why Democrats are good, let me just tell you about a recent NBC News and Wall Street Journal poll. 18% of voters say they will definitely support President Trump if he runs in 2020. Another 18% say they will probably vote for him if he runs in 2020. And 38% of people say they will definitely vote for a Democrat. And I'm going to do the math quickly here on the fly. But last time I checked, 18% plus 18% of definitely and probably vote for Donald Trump equals 36%. And last time I checked, 36% is only 2 percentage points lower than the 38% of people who say they're going to vote for a Democrat in 2020. Based on things like margin of error and just common sense, last time I checked, 36 versus 38% means close. So you can look at all the approval ratings you want. You can keep being a never Trumper. But for any underdogs out there who lean left in their politics, you might want to keep your eye out on whether or not some of the politicians or the party that you may be in favor of is doing more than just talking about how bad the bad guy is. And maybe they should start talking about how good or worthy they are of your vote, of my vote, of our vote. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And then come back with more of your phone calls and more of the Gregory Neesmith Show and more underdog stuff. And speaking of that, I'm going to go to the music break first with an audio clip from someone talking about how they stay in their lane. More after this.
Self-awareness. I stay in my lane. I'm a salesman. I'm a business builder. I've done it my whole life. I was an F student at 13 and 14. My friend's parents told my friends not to hang out with me because I was a loser. I'm more successful than my entire graduating class combined. Like, this is because the market doesn't understand that people don't get it. You have to double down on your strengths and you have to punch your weaknesses. In America, there's billions of dollars made on selling you how to fix the things that you're not good at. It's a huge mistake. You need to figure out who you are and go all in. That's what I did. And so when you talk about business or marketing, when you talk about the New York Jets, and when you talk about wine, I've got nothing but bravado. Everything else, you should see me sitting around dinner tables right now talking about politics. The level of humility and the level of listening, you wouldn't expect from me because that's not how you're used to consuming me. I'm loud and proud because I only stay in my lane. Pay very close attention. I've got 9 years of content on the internet now, maybe a little bit more. I've stayed very, very, very narrow. For me, it's lucky.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. A special delivery of underdog stuff. The Uns. The unavoidable. The unbelievable. The unconventional. The underrated. The unsaid. The uninhibited. You get it by now. Underdog stuff. Shout out to the underdogs and my people who go on the journey. Every episode, every week, it's a new year. Happy New Year to everybody. I don't think I officially said that because this is the first show in the new year. And I'm grateful to make it to another one. So far today, we've been talking underdog stuff. Recently wrote an article called Tender Taxes and No New Resolutions. Like I said, I got a lot of stuff on my mind this time of year. And new resolutions ain't one of them. I'm still trying to figure out what stuff I'm carrying over from last year and previous years into this year. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to stop doing. And I got some loose ends and some things to just to finish up complete so I can have a clean slate for what's next. And just have room to keep going on the things I want to keep going on. Like I want to keep going on the Gregory Neesmith Show. Now in season two. Because there's still more work to be done so we can rediscover how special we are in the world. Also, I gave 5 tips earlier on things to do before we all get into the spirit of writing potentially new resolutions. One was, go see your doctor. The physical doctor, you know, the one that does the physicals, like the doctor, your primary care physician, your dentist, your eye doctor. Because with no health, this life is hard to live. But we don't have good health or stable health. Other thing I said was, of the 5 things I'm going to do or I've done before I write any new resolutions, include 2. Write down the things I really, 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 really want. 3 was get some new friends. If I'm going to be up to new things, it makes sense that I'm going to be around some new people. And there's a tremendous number of new people in my life over the past year or two as I've shifted from corporate work to being an entrepreneur to also being a content creator. Lots of folks that either I knew that I know even better now or people I didn't know at all that I know now. Like, shout out to Kirsten Magwood, who I saw correctly state that Idris Elba, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, was the gentleman with the British accent that was talking about staying in his lane, talking about look up, don't look down earlier in the show. And someone who has been a part of being one of my new friends as I've gone on this journey as a content creator. Shout out to Kirsten Magwell. I also said one of the 5 things you can do before you do new resolutions is tell that hater voice that sometimes starts yelling at you in your head, saying you ain't enough of this, enough of that. Tell that inner hater to go sit down and shut up. And metaphorically, you might need to kick them out of the arena of your life. Because what they're saying may feel true, but it's not the truth. And lastly, I said one of the five things to do before you even think about doing new resolutions is get yourself a therapist or a coach. Get some support. Everything in life, we go get professionals for, except our mental and emotional health. You want to work on your diet. You don't call up your uncle. Call a dietitian. Your plumbing ain't working. You don't call your dad. Call a plumber. You need help with your taxes. You don't call your boyfriend. Call an accountant. Your car ain't working. You don't sit and pray. Only. Call a mechanic. And so when your mental health or emotional health isn't working, don't just call your friends and family. Call a professional. And like I said earlier, there's clinics. Daryl, one of our underdogs, shout out to the 215, one of my good friends that I grew up with, said that oftentimes a lot of employers offer assistance programs where at least the first few visits are normally covered. There's potential group therapy, which can lower the cost and be different than one-on-one therapy in terms of cost. And yet you still get some benefit from it. We also talked about swimming. Staying in your lane. Focusing on you. Focusing on what you need to do to get right. You can't just tell people what not to do. You got to tell them why they should opt in and do what you're doing. Or you got to run your race. And I was talking about how the Democrats are slowly kind of sort of falling into the trap of peeking over into the lane next to them at what Trump is doing or not doing instead of focusing on what they're doing. A better deal. I gave it a B for effort, but a D minus for execution. I'm saying it's a 50-50 chance that Donald Trump's going to be the 46th president. Well, technically, he's still the 45th president, but he will get a second term. It's a 50-50 chance if the Democrats just keep saying why he shouldn't be there instead of telling us why they should be there. Daryl writes, Democrats won't recapture the House of Representatives in 2018. It's been gerrymandered to death. The Dems should focus on capturing 30 to 35 state houses by 2020 so they can redraw the maps in their favor. Trump won't be on the ballot in 2020. He'll be lucky to still be out on bail. And that's Daryl letting us know his thoughts. I thought Hillary Clinton broke some type of law, too, with the whole server, but nothing happened to her. And I think some of that's because of the privilege and the stature that she has as being someone who's very senior and iconic as a politician. And I think it is hard for me to believe that when you're president, and Donald Trump is, that that doesn't come with a certain amount of privilege and access and favor, that even though he may have broken some type of law, potentially, I just don't see it ended up with him being impeached or, to Daryl's point, being out on bail. But we'll see. I don't have enough data or experiences to, at this point, believe in a system that is just for those who are considered privileged. But I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. And very good point about the gerrymandering. Definitely a challenge or issue. But no gerrymandering involved when it's time to vote for senators. Those are statewide elections. So let's see if the Democrats can make some moves, at least for Senate seats. Because underdogs, regardless of who you're for, Republicans or Democrats or independents, I think having a diverse group of politicians with different viewpoints, different races, different genders, different socioeconomic backgrounds can help us get to a better place. And right now, the lack of ideology diversity, gender diversity, race diversity is troublesome. So hopefully this next round of elections can do something for that. Shout out to Nicole, who says, hey, I want to shout out Nicole because she wrote a comment about the article that I recently wrote called Tender Taxes and No New Resolutions. And if I could just find her comment, I want to read some of it because it was profound. A saying she shared from one of her mentors. In the article, I talked about the idea that I want to consume less and create more. And Nicole mentioned that she was considering getting rid of her cable TV because we had this shared experience in common, which is sometimes we both feel sucked in to just unintentionally, mindlessly watching TV when we could be talking to a friend or we could be out creating something in the world. And she mentioned that her mentor, the late Dr. Miles Monroe, said that if all you do is watch TV, you'll never be on TV. And I thought that was such a profound comment. Shout out to Nicole. Shout out to her late mentor. And at some point, I'm going to have to post that quote because it's so true, right? If you just keep watching something, then you can never take the time to go do it and create it, whatever that is. So shout out to Nicole. Appreciate her. One of my good peoples. And we will keep an eye out on whether or not she gets rid of her cable, because I became one of the 22 million people who recently have gotten rid of their cable and cut the cord. And I think she is thinking of doing something similar. And we both have friendly competition of wanting to be on TV one day. And I know we will both make it happen. Just a matter of who's going to get there first, but we both going to get there. Shout out to Nicole and all the other underdogs. Follow along on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/ Gregory Neesmith. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break. Also, because I need a water break. And then we'll be back with more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. A special delivery of underdog stuff after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. A special delivery of underdog stuff, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And we talk the un language here. A lot of uns. The unbelievable. The uncovered. The underrated. The uninhibited. The unbelievable. Shout out to the underdogs and my people who go on the journey every episode, every week. As we do the live radio show on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. And there's also a podcast that comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher. We're also syndicated on the LiveLeadPlay.com podcast network. Shout out to them. And shout out to you. I appreciate all the downloads, plays, reviews, all that stuff. In 2017, we had over 13,000 downloads of the podcast, over 13,000 additional Facebook Live views, and weekly we trended in the top 100 in the society and culture category on Podomatic out of thousands and thousands of podcasts. And just grateful. Appreciate you. And we're going to keep doing what we do here, which is working together to rediscover how special we are in the world, going from stuck to unstuck to growth. With that, I can't believe it. Only a few minutes left in the show. For all the live viewers who enjoy the live show on the radio or on Facebook Live, want to make sure I reiterate the new broadcast live is now from noon to 2 p.m. That's noon to 2 p.m. instead of from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Just want to make sure you guys know that. So for all the folks who tuned in around 1 today, it's going to end soon. Got to start at noon now going forward. Appreciate you. And there's still time to take phone calls at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903 or your Facebook Live comments. So I went in the show quickly with, I said I would talk about weed, marijuana. You ever, now I was in foster care, then adopted. When I was adopted, I was the only child. A few years ago, I would meet my biological family, find out I have siblings. But all that being said, I didn't grow up with siblings. But I do remember my friends who did grow up with siblings. Oftentimes, if one of my friends was like the oldest child, they would talk about how they would be pissed that their younger brother or sister would be able to do things and get away with things that when they did them, they would get in trouble for. And I guess that's because parents, after the second or third child, parent in different ways. They have different approaches to rules and regulations, and potentially some things that were off limits for the oldest are now on limits for the youngest. And then the oldest is like, that's some BS. What does that have to do with weed? Let me explain. I don't know if you heard, but it's now legal for the recreational use of marijuana in California. I believe they have now become the 6th state in the United States where recreational marijuana is legal. And given the size and number of people who live in California, that means that now 1 in 5 Americans now live in a place, in a state, where recreational use of marijuana is legal. And in California, as of January 1st, or I should say as of November 8th, referendum, a vote, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, Proposition 64 makes California the 6th state to make it legal. Now, also, you may have heard that Jeff Beauregard Sessions said that they plan to terminate an Obama-era policy that kept the federal authorities from cracking down in states that have declared marijuana legal. So states say it's all good. And now Jeff Beauregard Sessions and the Trump administration are saying, ooh, wait a second. We might still come crack down on you. And so we'll see how this all plays out. Sessions did say that future prosecutions would be up to the individual U.S. attorneys. It was almost like they were intentionally vague about how the federal government will enforce this new law in the future. So maybe it's more of a scare tactic than it is reality. But just be mindful. There's a number of states now where it's legal, California now being the biggest and most recent. And then now the Fed is like, we might not let the states decide this. So just be on the watch out. Because in the end, it's legal in states like California and a few others. And the Fed may or may not decide to get involved. But what does that have to do with siblings? And the oldest being mad that the youngest got to get away with stuff that the oldest got in trouble for? Well, let me explain. There was actually a provision in California law about weed, Prop 64, that could potentially wipe away past weed convictions. California is offering a second chance to people convicted of almost any marijuana crimes from serious felonies to small infractions, with the opportunity to have their records cleared or the charges sharply reduced. By doing this, they are trying to help repair the damages of marijuana prohibition, and it's been reported as many as 1 million people have reviewable convictions on their records. They will have to present their case in court. This will give many people a second chance at life by giving them a clean criminal record. So if you were once the older sibling who got your hand slapped for something that now your younger siblings get to do, well, this is playing out in the broader sense as Californian citizens, where it's going to be legal now for people to do it, but it wasn't legal for you back in the day, potentially. There's an opportunity to get that all cleared up. Now, like with most things, there's catches and caveats. I know a lot of underdogs out there don't have access to legal help or don't even have the time. You're out here grinding, hustling, working multiple jobs, trying to make stuff happen. But I would say take the time to reach out to, there's, I believe, pop-up clinics. There will be low-cost or no-cost options to help you if you have on your record something related to marijuana, that there's an opportunity to get those charges sharply reduced on your record or to potentially have them expunged and totally cleared. So please, Californians, look into that. I know there's been a lot of news about forward-looking and people happy about recreational weed, but what I'm happiest about is underdogs being able to potentially not have to check a box about having been convicted for something that's now legal. Being able to get the right to vote again for those who may not be able to vote because of their past prison or their criminal records. So this is a big deal. Please look into that provision that will allow you to potentially get things cleared up if you have weed-related charges in your history. With that, we're coming to the close of the show. New rules for today that we got from the show, which is before you make New Year's resolutions, do these five things. Get a doctor. Write down what you want. Kick your inner hater out. Get some new friends. And go see a therapist. Please, 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 please. And lastly, new rule, stay in your lane. Don't be like the Never Trumpers and just talk about why Trump ain't good. Stay in your lane. Figure out why you're good, why you're a good choice. Tell people why they should come your way instead of telling them about all the things they should be avoiding. And lastly, just some thank yous. Shout out to all the underdogs who came along on the journey today for the phone calls, for the Facebook Live comments. Shout out to the team, to Megan, my producer, to Kayla, my podcast editor and video editor. And shout out to all the folks who download the podcast that make it one of the top 100 in society and culture on Podomatic. Podcast will be out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play. Syndicated on Live, Lead, Play Podcast Network. And lastly, you know how I end the show. It's a new year, but the ending ain't change. End the show with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.
For the people, this is Street Radio for Unsung Heroes.